armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
I'm a Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
I'm trying to save the bubble.
Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what
you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It is opening day at Truist Park. Spencer Strider Day, and we got the Masters. Let's go.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I am absolutely giddy with excitement as we've got opening day with Truist Park. The Braves finally come home after that long road. It felt longer than what it is because they started out in spring training, but after the long road trip, with 5-1 on a road trip, I don't care if three of them were against them. The Nationals, you can't beat that at all. That is absolutely outstanding to start the season. And not only have we have that, we do have some news. And it's not great news, but it does answer the question on who is going to start tomorrow. Because yesterday we were talking about it would be a bullpen game, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this broke just a little less than an hour ago. The Atlanta Braves have put Colin McHugh on the 15-day IL with right shoulder inflammation. And usually what that means is just maintenance. And it's probably because they've used him quite a bit and he just needs to, he should be okay. They recalled Jared Schuster. So if you recall, I talked about how you can't bring a guy back for 10 days after you send him down. The caveat is if someone goes to the IL, you can bring him back. So might be a little bit of manipulation by the Braves, but they're going to go ahead and bring back Schuster to pitch tomorrow. That's kind of good news, bad news. Good news is we have a starter. Bad news is we lose McHugh. Bad news is Schuster didn't look very good the first game out, but I think he'll pitch much better tomorrow night. Look, I don't expect him to mow down a very good San Diego Padres lineup, but I do expect him to go out there and give us 4 to 5 solid innings, maybe 6 if we're really fortunate. And we'll see if any other moves transpire after this. Most likely after this, he'll go back down and then they will add another bullpen piece as they await Wright. Kyle Wright should make his major league debut in 2023 on Tuesday. And we'll have the call. Now, remember, we don't have the game today, but we do have it tomorrow, but we are going to preview the game. I'm waiting for the official starting lineup to come out. It is yet to come out, but it should be out very shortly. It normally comes out during our show. So I would expect that we're going to get that line. Oh, I stand corrected. It has came out. I missed that. Here we go. All right, the starting lineup is out for the Atlanta Braves. I did not see that. Typically, it doesn't come out till about between 3 and 4, sometimes closer to 4. It doesn't have to be out until 3 hours before first pitch. So technically, they don't have to release it until 4:20. Is that a coincidence? But anyways, But today they've released it a little early because it is opening day. I would assume that's why they're doing this. And they had to make the roster move, so they went ahead and did it. So I've got the starting lineup. We'll get more into this later in the show, but I do have the lineup. It is going to be Acuna leading off, Olsen batting second, Riley third. That's been the 1-2-3 punch the whole time. Darno continues to hit cleanup. He's going to be the designated hitter. Albies is hitting fifth. And Sean Murphy will be behind the plate and hitting sixth. Harris, who's been scuffling a little bit, and it's a tough lefty tonight. Tonight, they're sending Blake Snell to the mound. Kevin Pillar, this is interesting. Kevin Pillar gets the start in left field and batting eighth, not Ozuna. So that tells you right there, they're not impressed with what Ozuna's been doing, and he better get it together. It's all about results. He's batting 059 right now. That's not going to get it done. And as we continue to climb through this season, if he doesn't get that bat straight, and I don't want to hear about how he's not getting enough at bats, et cetera, et cetera. He's had plenty of bats over the last 2 years. It's time to start producing. And he just has not produced well at all. Right now, it's looking more and more like we are going to get a platoon of Pillar versus lefties, Rosario versus righties, and the designated hitter role. I think not 9 times out of 10, but 7 times out of 10, it looks like it's going to be Travis Darnold if he's not behind the plate. And if Sean Murphy starts picking up the bat a little bit, you'll see him get some DH work, but he hasn't really opened that up yet. Real quick on the Major League Baseball. Let me adjust this screen for folks that aren't listening on radio and they're watching us on YouTube. I'll adjust the screen, make it a little bigger for everybody because that is a very, very small screen. Keeping up with the Masters. And there is we'll get into those scores here in a second. But the Masters, they are all the official ESPN coverage just began, but it's been rolling on the plus. I've got it up. I've been keeping an eye on it. Obviously, that's just the beginning of it, but Hovland does lead. He's 7 under. Rahm is 6 under. And Koepka, who I talked about leading up to this, I liked Koepka and Rahm a lot. Koepka is 5 under. Man, I'm pleasantly surprised by Koepka because it was more of a hope against hope. I put my two bets this morning on Koepka and Rahm. But there you have that. And real quick, back to the Atlanta Braves and what they're doing. It'll be Pillar hitting in the 8th slot, Arcia in the 9th slot. I'm telling you right now, you can make an argument that Arcia should be. You could make an argument against lefties. Orlando Arcia should probably be batting 7th. And Harris 8th with Pillar 9th. But anyways, that is your starting lineup. We'll put it up again and get it on the screen later in the show as we've got some guys that are going to about to jump on here with us here in a few minutes. So we'll shift gears a little bit when that happens. But they're going up against the Padres. Let me see if typically teams don't have it up yet, but let me see if the San Diego Padres have their lineup yet. I would expect it more during the 4 o'clock hour, but we'll see if they've released yet because not only are they, the Padres have not released it yet. But anyways, the Padres will be sending Blake Snell to the mound. And when you look at Blake Snell and you look at what he brings to the table, look, when he's on, he's one of the nastiest left-handers. But look, we play really well against left-handers. Really well against left-handers. And that is going to play. I saw an article today, and they were talking about why the Padres would be a good bet today against the Braves. And I get what they were saying is they were saying, well, it was a plus money line, and that's why we're saying this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I had to come back at him because I was like, you're talking about the Padres going into Truist Park, which, by the way, has been announced. It's already sold out. No shock. It'll be sold out tomorrow night, too. But you're talking about the Padres coming in to Truist Park on opening night against Spencer Strider, and they're throwing a left-handed pitcher against the Braves, who dominate left-hand pitching. Now, with that being said, by no means is this a gimme. Nothing in baseball is. If Snell goes out there and pitches a heck of a game, fair enough. But there's no way I would take the Padres. Maybe on the run line, you get a +1.5. But to me, that's a very, very bad bet. If you're suggesting that the Padres have a good chance of winning tonight, that's disingenuous. Because this isn't like football and basketball where getting close can cover you the spread. You have to get really close. You have to get within a run. There is no run line of more than 1.5. It's very rare that books give up anything like that. Normally, when you get the 1.5, I don't have it in front of me because the site won't come up, but the run line when you get 1.5 typically is a bad bet anyways. I'm getting it up right now. We'll see what they have on here with the Braves. The run line. No, they don't even have the run line up yet. With the win lines +155. And this is how bad of a bet that this sports book thinks it is. This morning it was -160 to take the Braves. I took the Braves. This afternoon, we're talking about 7-8 hours ago, right? It is now -210 on this very same book. They've just put the run line back up. If you get 1.5 run line, it's -145. That's not a good bet. If you take them on the win line, it's +141. That's not a good bet. Not for those odds stacked against you. If I was neutral and not a Braves fan and I was going to bet the Padres tonight, in the circumstances that I just laid out, I would want at least +200. At least. You got a much better chance. Look, I took the Giants today. They were +185 on the run line, on the win line, and they're actually leading right now because it was Alex Wood against Lance Lynn, and Wood has looked pretty good in the preseason or spring training. And Lance Lynn has been okay. He's not been terrible, but he's nothing right home about. And right now they lead it 4-2. But that's the kind of payback that I want. I also took a stab at Tigers. Red Sox, but the Tigers had the lead early in their bullpen and just absolutely spit the bit. All right, let's go ahead and take a really quick break. When we come back, Doug and Steven are here, and we're going to talk a little NASCAR. We're going to get into Major League Baseball and a whole hell of a lot more. And later on, we are going to get the full breakdown of Braves Padres. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM WQEE. Braves Country HD, wherever you stream.
Are you listening to yourself?
I always listen to myself. It's one of the great joys of my life.
Armchair Quarterbacks Radio covers the whole SEC the whole season long.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Jawan Jennings.
This is starting to think. First quarter at the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And Waters leaps to the right. Hits outside. The 35. Look out. He's past midfield and he's got a blocker. Cuts to the inside. Herschel Walker. There he goes again.
Straight up the middle. Touchdown. Delayed reaction, but Tebow got in. Oh, jump pass. How about that? Oh, my gosh. That looks like 1950. Holy cow! Are you kidding me?
Armchair.
SEC! SEC!
What does it take to break you? What does it take to break your focus because you get frustrated about what happened on the last play? What does it take to make you give in? It's hot outside. Or you're tired, or you don't feel like running to the ball, or giving effort, or finishing the play like you should because of how you feel, whether you're a little bit hurt. What does it take to break you? It's going to be difficult because you're getting yourself ready to play an entire season at a high level. So everybody here has got to have a lot of mental toughness to be able to sustain what we do at a high level.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back, Braves Country, as we are getting ready for opening day at Truist Park and welcoming in Mr. Steven Trocia and Doug Salfisberg, or better known as Texas T and Red Raider Doug. Texas T, how are you, sir?
Man, like we're one week into baseball. I can't be better.
Red Raider Doug, how's it going?
Doing good. Baseball's first week, man. It's some of the best baseball I've seen in a while. I'm excited for the season.
Yeah, I saw someone have the nerve to say this yesterday on one of the social media pages that I follow, saying, complaining how they hate the pitch clock and they miss the old game and all. I was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Yeah, there's pros and cons with everything. But all in all, I was against it a few years ago. I have embraced the pitch clock.
No, I mean 100%. Like I saw a couple stats earlier in the week just to show like the difference it's made. In the first four days of the season this year, batters were batting .245, and the league batting average last year through that time was .230. And then stolen bases, where it's really ticked up, 29 stolen bases in the first 4 days of the season last year. This year we were at 70. I mean, how can you turn down more offense?
It's yeah, and it's not just that. To me, it's not even has to be with the scoring, because baseball's never been a game that needs scoring. It's just there's more action. There's yeah, less standing around and getting out and messing around with your gloves and stretching and, you know, waiting for all that nonsense. And it moves really fast. I will say this. I think it's better for the fans at home than it is for the fans in the stands, because when you go to a baseball game, you're not in a rush. And the methodic nature of baseball lends to conversation, right? But if you're sitting at home alone watching the game, it's a vast improvement. Now, I will say that if we were sitting around at a bar having a cold beer in the old style of the game, yeah, I mean, I could see where you might enjoy it the other way a little more, because there's more time in between pitches to talk. But all in all, I mean, you're talking, that's really splitting hairs in my book.
Yeah.
Doug, you're the old head of the group. What say you? Do you love it or hate it?
I love it. I mean, it's like watching baseball, I mean, especially in the 70s and 80s. I mean, it's like, to me, it's turning back the clock. This is the way I remember baseball being played.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't say this often, but come on to my lawn. Normally I'm saying stay off my lawn.
Then yeah.
Saying, come on to my lawn. You're welcome. Pull up a chair onto my lawn. Yes. I mean, I can't get enough of it. I always watch other games than just the Braves anyways, but I feel like I'm watching more and more and more. And it's just, it's fantastic. And like the games today that are on today, and normally I'm locked into the Masters and I might have a game on in the background next to it, but not really. I haven't been able to really pay attention to the Masters because there's been so much movement on the, was it, what do we got? We got White Sox Giants. We got Red Sox Tigers. Right. I've got a few shares of Chris Sale and I was starting to wonder, man, did I spit the bit by putting this guy on my roster? But he pitched okay today, but I still don't think that he's where he was at. Let's get into the NASCAR, because I can talk about baseball all day long. I found it interesting that they're racing on Easter.
Yeah, that's a new thing, because I was always in the past, I was always tradition, they don't race on Easter.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to misspeak. I wanted to ask you all that, because that's what I thought. I thought that they didn't, because I thought Mother's Day and Easter, those were the two that just wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah, 100%. I have no idea what's up with it this year, and especially that, you know, they're putting the night race on it.
It's a night race on Easter.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And so the question that I had, because I see it, I'm very familiar with it being in Bristol, but they keep calling it dirt track. Is it going to be a true dirt track?
Yeah.
Yes. So they overlay the track with dirt.
Okay.
It doesn't run fully like a true dirt track would, but
okay.
It for all intents and purposes, it's a dirt race.
Yeah, you're not going to get that flat dirt track style, especially at Bristol with that. What is it, that 10-degree angle?
Right.
They have at Bristol. So you're not going to get a true dirt track experience, but I guess it's as close as you're going to get unless, you know, you go to one of your local tracks that still has it.
That right there was very interesting to me, because when I saw that it was at Bristol and it was actually going to be in, it was a dirt track, it was a night race, I just assumed Saturday. And then I went to look at it last time. I was like, man, this is a Sunday night race? This is insane.
Man, they're racing on Mother's Day this year as well. What is up with NASCAR?
They are racing on Mother's Day.
Doesn't look like there's any breaks. And yeah, four May races.
You said there is or there is not?
There is a Mother's Day race. There's four races in May.
That is odd. Mother's Day would be the second Sunday.
Yeah, they're May 14th. They're at Darlington.
What time?
3:00.
Oh, see, I thought maybe they were doing, because I kind of get the nighttime race that they were probably thinking, give everyone a chance to go to Easter church and whatnot. But I kind of thought they would, if they did do a Mother's Day race, they would do it in the evening just to, man, that is a hard sell to mom. I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? Mother's Day race at 3:00. That's a hard sell. Unless she is a diehard NASCAR fan, that is a hard sell. Hey, let's go watch the race. Let's go pile up at sports bar and eat nachos and watch the race for Mother's Day. Man, I don't know what y'all's moms are like, but that would be crickets when I was growing up. She'd basically say something that I can't say on air, and then, you know, kind of give me a rap in the back of the head and say, all right, quit screwing around. You know darn good and well that we're going to a nice dinner or a nice lunch.
You're better off giving her a vacuum cleaner for Christmas than try to take her to a NASCAR race on Mother's Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost the equivalent. Mm-hmm. And the other thing would be, you know, Mother's Day with me, and Easter with me, because I've been in the restaurant business for so long, I've never looked forward to either one of them because I was usually working. Easter was always that was always the dreg, because it was so slow, even though every owner and every area director would try to tell you you're going to be slammed. You'd be so slow. And then Mother's Day, of course, is just, you know, you get, you know, beat over the head all day long. But anyways, back to the NASCAR. The standings... Who do we got at the top of the standings?
So in the playoff standings, we have three Hendricks drivers up in the top five. You have William Byron in first, Alex Bowman second, Ross Chastain third. Pulling it back up. Who was that last one? Doug, the last.
I've got Bowman, Chastain, Bell.
Oh, Bowman, Chastain, Bell, and Byron.
Yeah, Byron Bowman, Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano. Larson, yep. Bowman, and Byron are all Hendricks drivers.
I'm assuming these asterisks mean that they've won and they've qualified for the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So Byron's got two W's, Larson, Logano, Kyle Busch, Reddick, Stenhouse Jr. I guess that's it. All right, so win, place, or show. Give me a win, place, and show this weekend, Doug.
I'm going to hedge your bet on a long shot to win here. I got Daniel Suarez winning the race this weekend.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
I like that call.
Who's place
that,
and show?
That package that Suarez runs, because he won at Sonoma, and he's placed in the top five He's placed 4th, 12th, and 5th in this race. Now, I don't know if they ran dirt in those dirt, if this dirt is a new thing, but they have a nice package for this racetrack. So, and nobody's looking at him. And he's, I think he's in at 20-1 or 200-1. So,
plus 5,000.
Plus 5,000. Thank you. But yeah, that's my pick. He'll
odd. Wow. All right. And what's the place and show? Second and third.
Oh, Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch.
Okay. And Steven, what about you?
No, I love the Larson call. I mean, he's real tempting to go with the win. I just don't love the value there, plus 700. He's coming off the win last week. He is a dirt racer by trade, like as they came up, but I'm going to pass there. I'm going to go with the hot hand right now. Alex Bowman at plus 2,500. He has 6 top tens and 7 races this season, 3 top fives. I think he's due to break through, and I mean, Chevy and Hendricks in particular, they're on point. And then I got Larson in second, and I'm going to go Briscoe in third. He so close last year to taking it over. So close to taking it. Then he had that last lap collision with Tyler Reddick, but I like him getting back to top five today.
All right. I will not make a prediction because I don't know what I'm talking about. So I enjoy it when I catch it. And I got my guys that I pull for, but I would never bet on it because I have no earthly idea. So I'll leave that up to the experts. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some baseball, baby. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
It's time to live, laugh, and create memories again with MSC Cruises. Join us on some of the world's most modern and innovative ships. Discover again at our new private island, Ocean Key MSC Marine Reserve, named Best New Cruise Destination. Cruise the Caribbean and Bahamas from Miami or Port Canaveral. Book now with free balcony upgrades and flexible booking changes. Call your travel advisor or visit msccruises.com. Restrictions apply. MSC Cruises, a world of discovery.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, the key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of- Welcome back. As you can see there, the Phillies and Mets have both been postponed, which means we can get a W tonight. We gain one more half game on the Mets and Marlins. We would be up to 3.5 up on Mets and Marlins right now. And the Phillies, man, they're starting off at 1-5. And we will get into that in a moment. Just the first overall takeaway from the first week of baseball. Full disclosure, Texas T is a Marlins fan and Red Raider Doug is a Reds fan. Both of y'all have to be pleasantly surprised from this past week.
Oh, I know. I definitely am.
What team were you watching?
Well, the Marlins won the last two games, didn't they?
I mean, yeah, but I think that they give them 3 wins on the season.
Right, but you're in second place.
I mean,
come on.
No, Sandy looked good, but the offense still is leaving a lot to be desired, and it doesn't help that, you know, Brian Anderson goes to Milwaukee and is batting like 560 right now with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs.
If the season ended right now, you'd just be out of the play. You'd be a half game out of the playoffs.
See?
Just a half game, right? Yeah, half game. Which means that you would have a chance to make that up tomorrow. Hey, man, I'm trying to throw you a bone.
Because yeah, no. Like I said in preseason, I'm not gonna believe it until I see it consistently.
Well, I can tell you this: with the Mets falling apart, it can only help teams like the Marlins.
Speaking of the Mets, they're calling up Francisco Alvarez, their top prospect.
Yeah, they sent Narvaez to the IL, and they're going to bring up Alvarez. He has been hot in the minors, but if you remember last year when he came up, he was not good. Now it's a very small sample size, so it is. So I would obviously wait to see before I'm going to make any kind of judgment on it. But he was not good. They tried to bring him up. Remember, they tried to do the old tricky move right there going into the playoffs. I still think that was, even though they lost the playoff matchup against the Padres, I still think that was dirty pool and that shouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah.
Because if you're not on the roster by September 1st, you're not supposed to be eligible for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they allowed him to put on there, and there was no argument to why. It was just, well, they're the Mets and it's their top prospect, so he should be able to go. Well, they should have had to bring him up in August.
I mean, if anything, that argument can just be, instead of, you know, oh, the Mets, it's their top prospect, it's, oh, the Mets, we feel bad for them. They're not going to do anything anyway.
Right. I was shocked that Major League Baseball allowed him on the roster. And it would be totally different if you had a handful of catchers in your organization that had, like, season-ending injuries, and you had – okay, then fair enough. But – and granted, they didn't win – but had they won, and you're a Padres fan, I would be irate. It's just, I don't think they would have allowed that for most teams. I think it was because they're the Big Apple, and they were allowed to do that. Lane says, how do you feel about the Mets? We're getting to that right now. In fact, we'll go ahead and start it up. But before we start panic or chill, Doug, how do you feel about this Cincinnati Reds so far?
So far, they're better than I thought they were going to be. But, I mean, like I said, coming into the season, I have no illusions that they're going to win 80, 90 games or anything like that. This whole season is based upon finding who are going to be our core players. And it looks like, from what I've seen so far, we got several candidates. I mean, we're platooning at third base. We've got this guy, Jason Vossler, who has been lights out in his first couple of starts. So, I mean, watching the Reds, that's what makes watching the Reds fun right now. Is they're going to keep bringing people up and keep bringing people out. And it's just fun to watch these prospects compete for starting jobs. So so far, I like what the Reds are doing. I mean, they've come out. I think they play decent baseball. I mean, they've got a lot of problems in that bullpen because there is no way, outside of our 3 starters, there's no way that bullpen is gonna bail us out of games, because they'd have to probably give us 12 to 16 outs a game, perhaps, and that's not going to happen. This bullpen is barely average on a good day, so we're going to take our hurts as that bullpen's going to cost a lot of games. But outside of that, offensively, I like what I see. There's some bright spots to it so far.
Real quick scoreboard update. You got the Red Sox leading the Tigers by 3 in the 9th. Kenley Jansen is on for the save. And Giants, White Sox. White Sox just gave up another bomb, yet the Yaz went deep. His second of the year, it's 8-3 San Fran. That game is in the 5th. And that prediction's coming true so far. I was not a believer in the White Sox, And I know a lot of folks had them either in second or first place in the Central. If the Tigers and the Royals weren't so bad, I wouldn't even have them third, but those are two bad baseball. I watched the Royals versus Toronto last night. And my God, that's some bad baseball to watch. I mean, I was like, man, there's like Bobby Witt and there's a couple other players. And other than that, it's not worth watching Kansas City Royal baseball right now.
Well, wasn't Greinke on the mound last night?
I'm sorry, do what?
Wasn't Greinke on the mound last night?
Greinke was on the mound, so that was kind of fun to watch. I didn't see him throw one of his Zephyr's pitch, but he was throwing a slow curve. And Manoah was on the mound for Toronto, and he hasn't looked good recent. He looked good last night because he was going against the Royals.
Well, yeah.
I think he went 7 innings, no earned runs, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Damn, you can't really argue with that.
They said that, by the way, this is pretty interesting. We'll see how long it stays up. But Kenley Jansen went from one of the slowest deliveries in all of baseball to one of the fastest this year because of the pitch clock. And I'm watching him right now. He doesn't look particularly fast, but they were going off of the some kind of metrics where they're timing these guys. And, yeah, I guess he's letting it fly around 14, 15 seconds. So, yeah, he's moving. He still looks slow because when the camera first goes to him, he's lumbering, then he's coming. And he doesn't do the full shift like he used to do, but he's definitely does a little bit of a shimmy up there.
Yeah.
All right, time to play. I don't even know I got to see what these are. We haven't hit these buttons in years. What is the panic and chill sound? Here's the panic sound. All right, that makes sense. What's the chill sound? All right, something good. Sometimes tells me that's cool. It's got copyright infringement. I'll find out in a couple hours. All right. So I'm just going to use the panic sign because I'm not sure what the heck's going on with that. I'm afraid to keep playing that chill sign. I think it's so. It's time for panic or chill. All right. And what we do here is we kind of make assessment of the first week of baseball. I'm going to give you all a few teams that. They may have had higher expectations than where they're playing at right now. Is it time to panic if you're the fan base? Obviously, the teams aren't going to panic. They know it's a 162-game season. But is it time if you're a part of this fan base, is it time to panic or is it time to chill? And the first one I think we have to hit off with and start it off with is the New York Mets. They were everybody's darling going into the season. Then Diaz got hurt. And I was the first to say, hey, I think that's crippling. I didn't think they were going to win the division anyways, but I think that's crippling because a game like yesterday where they really needed a win, they lost the first two, 19-0. If he were healthy, he would have been well-rested, right? And when they got tied in that game at 6-6 late in the game, they could have put Diaz in for 5 or 6 outs, rode him, and they probably would have found a way to win the game. Instead, it was Robertson to Ottavino, 1 inning apiece. Well, Ottavino faced 1 batter, and ding-dong, the pitch is dead and the game's over. They got blown out the first two games. They get beat in Milwaukee a total of 26-6. And I know they went into Miami and beat Miami, but Steven will tell you, Miami doesn't score a lot of runs. And so that kind of plays into what the Mets do. The Mets are a pitch-first team, and I still think that offense is atrocious. So is it time to panic or chill if you're the New York Mets who are sitting at 3 wins and 4 losses through 7 games heading back home for the first time? Steven.
I mean, I'm panicking a little. I'm not even a little bit. I'm panicking a lot. Like you said, that offense is not good. And, I mean, they're bottom 10 in almost every offensive category. Even the pitching, which is supposed to be their strength, has been, you know, lackluster to start the year. They have the seventh highest FIP at 5.35. They're giving up a 1.5 whip, walking 10% of batters. It's just not good right now.
Doug, what about you? Are you panicking or chilling if you're a New York Met fan?
Well, I'm a Met fan. I'm panicking. When I take on the Long Island train home, I'm weeping the whole way home.
What if you're Doug Heffernan and your back's getting tight? Are you still crying as you're driving over the what's the line that you're driving over the Queensboro Bridge tonight?
Yeah, over the Queensboro. Yeah.
Wasn't he a Mets fan?
Yeah, like
he was.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's sporting a tear or two too.
Look, I'm with y'all. I felt like it was panic time the moment they didn't sign Correa. And I don't know how much of a difference he would have made, but his presence makes you think that there's another big bat there. His stats really never play out to what his persona is, but it would have given them some false bravado, right? But you look at this team right now, I just don't know where the runs are coming from. And Max Scherzer, oof.
Not it.
No. He looks – usually – Max Scherzer comes out in the spring. He looks phenomenal. I think age is catching up with Scherzer. I think last 2 years he had dead arm. To end the season, is he starting off with dead arm to begin the season? Verlander's got the freaking injury, and they have not been very
lucky.
Forthcoming on how long he's going to be out. I think it's at least until the middle of the end of May, right? The one bright spot of the entire thing, if you're a Mets fan, is Kodai Senga looks good. But this is also the first time that Major League Baseball has seen Kodai Senga, so I'm more interested to see what he looks like on the back half of the year. Carrasco looks broken down. I still cannot believe they brought him back for $16 million. I just think that is just one of the dumbest opt-ins for a team that I can remember. He was garbage last year.
Yeah.
And so you got Peterson, you got Miguel. I mean, Peterson these guys. Doesn't look like either. What's that?
Oh, I just think Peterson doesn't look like age.
No, David Peterson looks like David Peterson is who he looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
You know, he's had stretches in his career when, like, if you're doing fantasy or you're betting, you might take a chance on him that day. But for five starts, Peterson's not going to give you more than maybe two starts where I wouldn't even say quality starts, but five innings and maybe less than two or three runs, right? But he's not someone you can lean on. And then that offense, I get it that they got the guy Alvarez coming up and maybe he can help. But where are the runs coming from? Because outside of Alonso and Lindor, that is a putrid offense. I guess the biggest thing that I'm confused is how in the hell does this roster equate to over $350 million?
You don't want to know the answer to that question. The contracts are that bad.
I mean, did Tommy Pham sign a $35 million a year deal that I'm not aware of? I just don't understand how they are at that number. I do know.
I mean, Verlander, Scherzer, and Lindor themselves are about $130 million.
Well, the big problem that I think was that Verlander, Scherzer, and Carrasco, all over the age of 36, you put their three contracts together, it's about $100 million. So that's number one. That's the biggest problem. But then Lindor... The crazy thing is Pete Alonso hasn't even gotten paid yet.
Yeah, he's on a 1 year, $14.5 million. He's on a arbitration deal, $14.5 million this year.
And I believe
he's the only one offensively doing anything.
Is he a free agent? Is it next year or the year after?
25.
Yeah.
One more year of arbitration, then okay. Free agency.
They're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. Like, if they don't pay him, that's just them signaling a reboot, a reboot, essentially. Like,
yeah. Don't you think that they probably have to pay him this year, and not for this year, but an extension going into next year? Because if not, doesn't he start getting? Because if you let him get to next year, like the Braves are going to do with Max Fried, I'm sorry, but Max Fried's walking.
The longer they wait, the higher the price is going to be.
Right, and if you let Alonso get to free agency, I don't know if he'll walk because I don't know if anyone can outbid you, But you're definitely, it's like you said, the price tag's going way up. I wouldn't have brought back McNeil at that price. Nemo, he's one of my favorite players to watch. He's not worth the money that he signed. My God. What is Marte making?
I think 21 million.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oof. For the next 3 years.
Oh, brutal. What's Vogelbach doing other than eating cheeseburgers?
He's got to be pretty cheap.
1.5.
1.5.
They still overpaid. I saw a highlight of him sliding into second the other day. That was the most uncoordinated crap. He was out by a mile, too. I think it was the Brewers game. Whoever it was had gunned him down from right field by like a – yeah, because it was the kid that ended up hitting the walk-off home run. But it – I mean, it looked like every restaurant league softball game that I ever coached when you, there's always that one kid that you could tell – he could hit the ball, but you could tell he never really played baseball because the slide was all uncoordinated and coming in like Shamu into the swimming pool. My God. All right, the next one. This is an obvious one, too. We're going to want to get it out of the way. The Philadelphia Phillies. Are you panicking or chilling? 1-5. Doug, we'll start with you this time.
Oh, I would be in full disaster, hit the red button, hide under the table, panic with them. You're 1-5. And the lead that now the Braves have in that division.
But you got in on the wild card last year.
Yeah, but they just look ugly. I mean, they're just completely anemic on every side of the ball. There's nothing there that tells me that they're gonna. Right now, if you forced me to choose, I'd say if they win 60 games, they'd be lucky. The way they look right now, after 1 week.
What about you, Steven?
No, I'm definitely panicking as well. One stat really says it all. They've scored 18 runs this year, and they've allowed 42.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win baseball games or even be competitive when you can't score and you let the other team score at will.
So this is going to surprise y'all, but I'm going to say I'm going to chill if I'm a Phillies fan, mainly because they've been on the road. And look, going to Texas and going to New York, Yankees, two of the highest payrolls in baseball. I'm not panicking yet because this is happening. I really think that was a gut punch with Rhys Hoskins hitting the IL and losing him for the year. The one thing that would give me hope if I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan, or give me cause to worry if I'm a fan of anyone else in the division like our Braves, is Bryce Harper seems to be ahead of schedule. So a couple of months ago, they were saying All-Star break, and now it's being reported that they think he could be back sometime in May, which is just phenomenal considering he had Tommy John in, November?
Mm-hmm.
That's
it would let them get Castellanos out of the lineup.
Well, he's already done some dry swings. And that just I really think what it's going to come down to is what do the doctors say about him playing designated hitter? Can he – it's not just swinging the bat, but obviously if he slides, the running, any kind of weird collision, is that going to set him back, right? They're going to make the answer really easy if they continue to lose, because they're just going to go, dude, we'll see you at the end of the season when you're fully healthy because it's not worth rushing you back.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think this is a team that could gel, but you hate starting off 1-5. But I will say this, we were looking at it yesterday, and their schedule coming up is very, very easy. No offense, Doug, but they got the Reds. Oh, no offense, Doug and Steven. They've got the Reds and Marlins the next 10 games. They're at home against Miami and Cincinnati the next 6 games. Actually, reverse Cincinnati and Miami. Then they're at the Reds for 4, and then they go to the White Sox, who are playing like crap, and then they get the Rockies at home. So they got a stretch here. Now, if they get at the end of April and they're still well under 500 and scuffling, then I would be more into the panic mode. But I can understand where y'all are coming from it, but I just feel like that the Braves played like crap the first week of the season last year. I mean, heck, we played like crap the first 2 months.
But yeah, I mean, like, look at the expectations though. The Braves are perennially, you know, like either winning the division or right there. The Phillies snuck into the playoffs by like what, a game, not even.
Right.
And so like no one even expected to make the playoffs, let alone go to the World Series. It's not like we're talking about some powerhouse superstar team that is coming off of, you know, multiple years of being good. They had one good run at the end of last season, and I'm gonna need to see more to truly believe that they are a much better, like to believe, like, you know, what we saw in the playoffs is the real Phillies.
I never thought that they had what it took to win the division this year, because on 162 games, you need starting pitching, you need bullpen, and of course they have the offense. But if they can sneak into the playoffs like they did last year, they become very, very difficult, because you get to shorten your rotation. But that signing for Kimbrel, that's one of the dopiest ones that I've seen in a while. A team that's already paying through the nose because they're over the salary hump. Mm-hmm. And they give him $10 million, which in real money, they're paying essentially $13 million to have him on the roster. That one right there to me was dopey, because what about Craig Kimbrel makes anyone think that he is a closer, a shutdown closer at this point in his career and worth $10 million?
Beats me, dude.
I mean, he wasn't even on the Dodger roster in the playoffs. And it wasn't because of injury. It wasn't like one of them fake injuries that you know that they give somebody. They just said, you suck, you stay home. And even when they got behind the series, they didn't go, come on. They said, nah, dude, you still suck, you stay home. We're going to take our chances with, I guess at that point, Dustin May was still trying to come back. So they were up there, had Sideshow Bob out there, you know, trying to stretch out his arm. We're coming up on the top of the hour. Joey is on the way. Doug, what is your walk-off?
Walk off. Talk about teams panic or chill or whatever. But I got to ask this question: what are they putting in the drinking water in Tampa at 6-0?
Probably a lot of Washington Nationals on their schedule.
But I have to. My point with it was, it's still.
Start with.
I'm just saying that, you know, it looks like Tampa can take any garbage pitcher from anywhere and make them look good. Zach Eflin actually pitched a good game, and I was kind of almost had a heart attack watching it.
I never doubt the Rays front office, man.
Yeah.
They're elite. Steven, what's your walk off?
I mean, going back to that Braves game, like, I got a lock for you. I do think the Braves are going to win. I like them for the first, like, you know, the first five run line at -0.5. It's -116, but my lock in that game, Spencer Strider under 7.5 strikeouts. Padres strike out the least amount of times in the league, especially against right-handers, and they actually walk a fair amount, close to 10%.
Top of the hour. We'll see y'all next week, guys. Great job. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterback's Sports Flash. Thirsty Thursday on Braves Country today. You got a full slate of Major League Baseball, including opening day at Truist Park. The Atlanta Braves welcome in the San Diego Padres. First pitch, 7:20. The gates will open for batting practice prior to. Afternoon action in Major League Baseball, Red Sox at the Tigers at 1 o'clock, along with Mets and Marlins. They're in New York, Cabrera versus McGill. Blue Jays at the Royals, Giants at the White Sox, with the Reds at the Phillies, and the Yankees at the Baltimore Orioles. Rockies and Nationals, the Twins and Astros finish off the afternoon tilts. One night game tonight, the Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks, 10-10 first pitch. In the association, TNT has a
doubleheader. Starting at 7:30 Eastern, the Miami Heat at the Philadelphia 76ers. And to end your evening, Nuggets are at the Suns in Phoenix, Arizona. Other games of note, the Cavs are at the Magic at 7, and the Thunder are at the Jazz at 9. The National Hockey League has wall-to-wall action. Some of the bigger games of note, the Lightning are at the Islanders at 7:30, while the Hurricanes at 8 o'clock travel to Nashville to face the Predators. Maple Leafs and Bruins at 7. Red Wings host the Sabres, while the New York Rangers head to St. Louis to face the Blues at 8. The puck drops at 10 Eastern in Las Vegas as the Golden Knights and LA Kings skate and square off, while the Avalanche are at the Sharks and the Coyotes at the Kraken. And of course, not to be outdone, the 87th edition of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. We'll keep you up to date on the scores as they roll in right here on Braves Country Today. Miami Dolphins' Tyreek Hill says he's planning to retire at the end of his current contract. Quote, "I'm going for 10 years, man." Hill, who will be 31 years old when his contract runs out after the 2025 season, told Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City on Wednesday, quote, "I'm going to finish out this contract with the Dolphins, and then I'm going to call it quits. I want to go into the business side. I want to do so many things in my life, bro," unquote. Hill was traded to the Dolphins in 2022 and signed a four-year, $120 million extension that made him the highest-paid wide receiver in the National Football League. He added, quote, "So I really want to get into, like, the gaming space. I really want to get huge in that, and that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm using my platform, creating a gaming team, which isn't launched yet. It should launch by the end of this month. I'm going to just sign, like, different content creators, different athletes. I've just been working that, talking to different sponsors." He'll finish second in the NFL with 119 receptions and 1,710 yards for the Dolphins in 2022, earning his fourth All-Pro nod and seventh Pro Bowl selection. He caught 7 touchdown passes, giving him 63 for his career. New York Mets starting catcher Omar Narváez has been diagnosed with a medium-high grade strain of his left calf and will be placed on the IL. Narváez underwent an MRI on Thursday, and the Mets said the typical timeline for his injury is 8 to 9 weeks. Top catching prospect Francisco Alvarez is set to join the Mets after Narváez goes on the IL. According to multiple reports, Alvarez was ranked as the number 5 prospect in baseball going into the season. Alvarez was off to a hot start in Syracuse, hitting 2 home runs in 4 games with an OPS of 1056. Narváez, 31 years old, was batting .286 with 2 RBI in his first 5 games with the Mets. He signed a 1-year deal with the team in the offseason. Narváez is a career .258 hitter, 51 homers, 193 RBI in 8 seasons with 4 teams. He made the All-Star team in 2021 with the Milwaukee Brewers. Fernando Tatis belted a solo home run Wednesday night during his second minor league rehab game in El Paso AAA, where he will play for the next 2 weeks as he completes his 80-game suspension for PEDs. After being booed while rounding the bases by the home fans at AAA Sacramento, Tatis also caught flack on social media from Cade McClure, the pitcher who allowed the home run. McClure, responding to a video highlight of Tatis's home run, the exact tweet was, "Cheater hits a home run on a rehab assignment during a steroid suspension," highlighted by asterisks. McClure, 27 years old, is in his first season at Sacramento, the AAA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. The right-hander appeared in 44 games at AAA Charlotte last season, his 5th season with the Chicago White Sox organization. Fernando Tatis will not be eligible to return to the Padres until April 20th. Tatis said earlier this year upon his return, he is, quote, "looking forward to the challenge in front of fans," unquote. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country.
hockey season, and that means new merch over at ourdragonsmerch.com. Get the latest designs and some of our fun new souvenirs ahead of what's sure to be a great hockey season. Celebrate another season of River Dragons hockey by getting a new look to wear on game days, or surprise the big-time sports fan in your life with a new keepsake that will make them a River Dragons fan for life. Order online right now at ourdragonsmerch.com. That's the letter R, dragonsmerch.com. We'll see you at the rink.
The decision to have the kids earn their jersey numbers, yeah. Is there a story behind that, and what are you hoping that
creates? I'm old school. Anybody here over 45, didn't we have to earn every darn thing we got? Ain't nobody gave us nothing. So this whole new thing, first of all, we got this new thing now in college football about double numbers. We didn't have if somebody gave you a double number in college, that assured that you weren't gonna play. that's how it was, wasn't it? Now it's like normal. You gotta earn stuff. Ain't nobody giving you nothing. We got kids, they played a snap, you know, and you want to be one? You know what number one meant back in the day for us? That you were that one. Now you got number one getting a frame toe out of him out there on the field. Like, come on, you got to be crazy.
Armchair.
Welcome back to Braves Country. Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 to 5 p.m., drive time on WQEE.
T-minus 3 hours, 11 minutes till we have baseball back in Truist Park. And the Atlanta Braves are going to welcome in San Diego Padres. You're going to have Strider versus Blake Snell on the mound tonight. It doesn't get any better than this. Joey, how the hell are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic on this Thirsty Thursday. I got Strider in fantasy. After his first start with 9 or 10 Ks, whoo, I'm electric to show him in the home debut for Atlanta. What a glorious evening it could be if it ends with a victory, of course. But really looking forward to that game. Is the MLB schedule is a little light with this rain and it being an off day kind of for some teams.
Yeah, there's what has there been, 3 postponed games? We got the Marlins, Mets, Reds, Phillies. That's what matters in the world of the Atlanta Braves. But I think there was another one. Weren't the Yankees?
That's correct.
The Yankees are – they're not at home, are they? They're on the road. They got Baltimore. I don't know if that was in Baltimore, if that was in New York, but I saw that was also Ixnade. For whatever reason, I don't see it on the screen, but oh, there it is.
It was in Baltimore.
Yeah. So they're calling for a possibility of rain this weekend in Atlanta, but I'm hoping we get past that no big issues. Guess I can go ahead and move this out the way, get that chat off the screen. The Braves starting lineup is out. I'll get that shared here in a second. I wanted to check and see if the Padres have to have theirs out this hour. So we'll see if it comes out. Oh, here we go. All right. So we got the Padres lineup. You said you got Strider going for you in fantasy tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's always good to have one of the best in the business.
Trying to navigate here so I can't hold your hand, so don't be scared to talk.
Holding my hand. Who's holding whose?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so I'm looking at tonight's game. Like I said, I mean, I'm an NBA guy, but I'm not really worried about the NBA schedule tonight. You know, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, and these teams mostly are either resting or tanking. So there's a couple of games out there of importance with the play-in, but it comes down to it. I'm looking forward to the baseball. You already mentioned Padres and Braves, also Dodgers, Diamondbacks. I got May in fantasy as well, so I'm going to be really locked in. If they're spread out nicely, I can watch Padres, Braves, listen on, you know, Braves Country, and then I can move over to Dodgers and Diamondbacks for the nightcap or off work tomorrow. I'm not missing any innings tonight. We're going to be watching MLB all night long. And then, obviously, as we speak, the Masters is on right now. You know, a name we're all familiar with, Jon Rahm, is tied with Victor Hovland at -7. Both of them have finished on the day. And coming up right behind them, you got Cam Young and Brooks Koepka. So it's been a pretty fun day of Masters. I don't know how much rain we're going to get, just like every other sport, but there's the Braves lineup, nice and fresh right
there. We go. On our screen. So it's Strider Day, and you got Acuna, Olson, Riley, Darnold, for those listening on radio and can't see the screen. Albies. And so we're facing a tough lefty in Blake Snell, but I'm just, maybe it's me still having the hang up of his dopey comments during the pandemic, but he doesn't worry me anymore. So I think he can be gotten to, and the Braves absolutely bang left-handers. Now, he's not a normal left-hander. He's got some good stuff, so it's not going to be easy. But you got Acuna leading off, Olson. That's the only thing that concerns me, is Olson had a tough time with Matz the other day. And so sometimes a guy just has a hard time with one particular pitcher, but I'm just hoping that he battles with this left-hander a little better. Then Riley, Darnold, Albies obviously will be hitting from the right side of the plate. Sean Murphy, Michael Harris. So you got another lefty right there at the seventh hole. And then Pilar Narcia are all right-handers. I saw Michael Harris the other day in a highlight hit two home runs from the right side of the plate during batting practice. I mean, they were bombs. And he looked fluid with his swing. And I wouldn't tell a guy what to do, but all I can think of is, why don't you switch hit if you can do that? If you're that good, why don't you just go ahead and let's go, right?
Never made sense to me. The same thing kind of was with Dexter Fowler. I remember when he was here with the Cubs, his splits were always wild. It's like, if you're that much better from one side, I understand, you want to play some big boy baseball, hit from both sides and create some mismatches. But if you're not working from one side, are you really a switch hitter?
Right. Well, yeah. But the thing is, Michael Harris is not a switch hitter. He's a left-handed hitter, but he was drilling them from the right side of the plate. Now, granted, it's batting practice. It's not the same thing, but I just wonder every once in a while, why not go up there just to screw with the pitcher, right? Why not? Maybe you go up there and you do that in the first at bat and it throws him off because these pitchers go in with game plans. They talk to their coaching staff, the scouts and whatnot going into the game. They've got a game plan of how they're going to pitch you from the left side of the plate. And then all of a sudden you walk over there and you get in the other side of the box. That's going to screw with you big time.
Absolutely, no doubt. And one other thing I like with looking at this Braves lineup, a little bit of fantasy impact here. Mr. Travis in the four spot, he's the most added person right now in fantasy at 27.4%. What a nice surprise. We all know what he is, but being in the four spot, playing as good as he is early, just another bright spot in the Braves.
See, he doesn't shock me at all. I've actually got him on a lot of my teams because I've had him for a few years because on the days that he's off, you just bench him. But that's basically a situation where I have two catchers, right?
Right.
And so I do that because usually a catcher gets a day off. But I knew this year that Travis Darnold was going to be playing a lot of DH. And, dude, the guy is just a constant professional. Consummate professional. He flat out can hit, and he doesn't swing for the fence. He is perfectly fine with just laying it in there. And he's hitting over 400 already this year. He hasn't gone yard yet, but that's coming. And he's just, the guy is just phenomenal.
Professional hitter is what I like to call him.
And one of the best things about him is that he's a Mets killer. He absolutely roasts the Mets every time.
Don't you just love that?
And it makes it even better because he played for the Mets for a couple of years. And Mets fans will tell you he was terrible there. He was absolutely awful. But now that he's playing against the Mets, he's just bashing them.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
The Padres, I'm going to see if I actually can find their lineup with the picture on it. The only one that I'm seeing right now is not something I want to put up there. But if you can pull up the Padres lineup on your end as well, Joey, want to go over that? Because you got Strider going to the mound. And notice Grisham is leading off and Soto batting second. The meat of their lineup, that Soto, Machado, Bogarts, that three-headed monster, that's where you got to navigate.
Yeah, it's a dang gauntlet going through that. I mean, this Padres team coming into the year, if you just look at the roster on paper, it's clearly one of the better ones in baseball, especially if they're going to get the pitching like they do. Blake Snell, to me, is one of those guys. You talked about it a little bit where you don't know always what you're getting year in and year out, but after the first start looked pretty good. That's not a huge sample size, obviously, but this is one of those teams not only hitting, but pitching could be a scary one because, I mean, even Kim at second base, he is a pretty legit hitter. I mean, Trent Grisham, they're not surrounding these great hitters with bad hitters either. They're decent supplements, so it's a pretty full lineup and a pretty stacked roster if they can stay healthy, of course, which is for any team, right?
Yeah, well, going into tonight, and I did find an actual picture that I can share now, so we'll go ahead and do that and put that on the screen here on Braves Country HD. But looking at their lineup tonight with Strider on the mound, so you got a nasty right-hander. Wish I had in front of me how many times that they've faced each other, but I feel like he has not faced – I'll be able to get to that in a second, but I feel like he wouldn't have faced the Padres many times. Bogarts, Machado, those are two right-handed batters with the two incredible batters. The guy that worries me the most tonight is Juan Soto from the left side of the plate. But when you got at the bottom of your lineup, Rougned Odor and Ha-Seong Young Kim, I'm not that. They definitely don't have a long lineup.
And to answer your question, Strider versus the – it's a small sample size. Like you said, Soto actually has the most at-bats. He's 1-for-4. With no homers or RBIs. Machado 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Cronenworth 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Kim 0-for-2 with a strikeout. And Nola 0-for-1. So not a lot of sample size, but he's done pretty dang good the only time he must have faced him.
Yeah, he's because you have to look at the fact that he was injured last year towards the end. And last year it was his first. I know he got in a little bit in 2021, but for all intents and purposes, it was his first year of action. Looking at his actual numbers against the Padres all time, and was a one inning. That was in 2022. So that was back when he was still. That was before they put him in the starting lineup, and then he also. Went three innings at another time, went 3 2/3. I actually think that was actually relief as well, but he had not been put in the starting lineup yet, but I believe I'm almost positive I did that game. And I think that was a piggyback game where he came into the middle innings. So he's faced him for 4 2/3 innings overall, 5 strikeouts, back. He's faced 18 total batters in those two outings. It's a very small sample size.
Yeah, Soto with the 4 at-bats, I'm maybe guessing a couple of those came from when he was in Washington. Maybe not. That would just be my guess. Not sure, though.
Maybe. But
just a guess.
He got traded pretty late, so possibly. He got traded, like, right at the deadline, right? So, yeah. Yeah. That's if he faced him, he had to have, because the only other time that Strider has faced the Padres was before the trading deadline last year.
Yep, makes sense.
So when you think about that, the first thing that I think of is he's actually going to be more dangerous now because he was in the freaking Nationals lineup last year. So Juan Soto comes up, you can pitch around him. I'm not worried about walking Juan Soto because who's batting behind him? 85-year-old Nelson Cruz last year? Right?
So true.
So I just – it's – that's going to be the gauntlet. And in a perfect world, he has a 1-2-3 first inning, so there's not someone on base –
when Bogarts comes on. Now, Ian Snell, I'm sorry, Blake Snell. What did I say? Ian Snell? Man, that's
A throwback.
You remember Ian Snell?
Former Pirate. I remember him as mostly.
That's always in my head because a buddy of ours, fantasy baseball, when you're overreached with him and still curses his name to this day. Because he probably would have won the championship that year, but his team was lacking starting pitching depth, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that he reached for Ian Snell. I'll never forget that. It still curses about him. Even named his team after him one year. Blake Snell, when he was with Tampa, oh man, this has been a while. May 8th, 2018. That's a while, man. That's not even the same pitcher. He went 6 1/3, one earned run, gave up one home run, struck out 5. Had a good outing. That was 5 years ago. The 2018 Braves. That's a long time ago, Hoss.
Yeah, and actually in the, you know, I'm looking at the stats now. Acuna has one homer against him, but Pilar has 21 at-bats and 8 hits in those 21 at-bats against him. So that's pretty much where the sample size sits at there. Matt Olson 0 for 6 against Snell, but outside of that, not much going.
I'd be willing to bet he was going head-to-head versus like Mike Fultonevich or something that day. Yeah. Trying to see if I could dig into that would be a stat sheet that I would be interested in.
I just love this type of matchup right here. I mean, I know the Padres, it's only a small sample size at 3-3, but I feel like outside of my Cubbies, this is the first game of full MLB where I'm going to sit down and listen to this thing from start to finish. I'm all jacked up with having tomorrow off for Good Friday. What better way to start it than with some baseball?
Now, just to clarify for folks, we do not do the game tonight. We do the game tomorrow night, Tuesday night and Friday night baseball. But this week we did the Tuesday night game, the Wednesday day game, and then we've got tomorrow night and we've got Sunday night game. Sunday night baseball. I found the box score. Do you want to hear who was on the who was roaming the halls? You know what shocks me about this one? Ozzie Albies was actually there.
Let's take a trip down memory. Woo!
Here's some names, baby. First of all, when you pull up the box score, something that you don't get to see anymore are the substitutions where pitchers came in for hitters and where they did the double switch. So that day, Luke Jackson came into the game for where Nick Markakis was at because there was a double switch. But the starting pitcher for the Atlanta Braves that day was Sean Newcomb. Sean Newcomb. What do you know about Sean Newcomb?
About as much as the name. I mean, I remember him pitching, of course.
You don't remember who he is?
I know I do. I don't got anything relevant.
Very Chicago Cub relevant. That's why I'm bringing him up.
Blast from
Sean Newcomb is the guy that the Braves traded to the Cubs last year for Jesse Chavez.
Yeah, well, it didn't work out for us. He had a 9 ERA for us. That's why I didn't try to remember Newcomb that well, because in 17 appearances, he let up 23 runs.
Jesse Chavez was pitching for the Cubs, and the Braves wanted to get him back. And he was doing terrible for the Cubs, so the Braves gave him Sean Newcomb, and the Cubs said, you can have Chavez, he sucks. And then the rest is history. Chavez continued to do Chavez-type things, pitched really well for us. And then we traded him again, and then we got him back through DFA. It's unbelievable how that guy, Jesse Chavez, I think if he would have been in Atlanta Brave uniform his entire career, he'd probably be heading to the Hall of Fame. But because he didn't, because he bounced around the league, he only pitches well in a Braves uniform. I don't get it. Because he really wasn't that great when he went out to the Angels. The Angels eventually DFA'd him. because we traded Chavez again over to the Angels. That was a part of the trade that brought Iglesias over to Atlanta. And then they ended up DFAing him a few weeks later, and we scooped him up, and here he came back in the locker room. All right, here's the other guys on the Braves roster that day. Johan Camargo was playing third base. Remember when everyone thought that was the third baseman of the future? I remember having these arguments with people that they wanted to bench or trade Austin Riley for Johan Camargo.
Oh, my goodness.
None of them will admit to it to this day, but there was real conversations about that heading into the 2019 and 2020 season. Actually, the 2018-2019 season. By 2020, Riley had established himself. Here's another one. Freddie Freeman was pinch ran for Peter Borges. Ender Inciarte, one of our favorite players in Braves lore. Charlie Culberson was playing left field. If Braves fans didn't see that news, he signed a minor league deal with the Braves right before the season started. So he's down in AAA right now. Dansby Swanson was the shortstop. The Padres, Eric Hosmer, there's you, Cub.
Hey.
Hunter Renfro. Did you see the catch by Hunter Renfro over his head?
Yes.
He literally was blindfolded on that. He just threw his glove up and goes, ah, look what I caught.
You know, and too, like, if you actually watch it back, he kind of misjudged it. So it's kind of a thing of luck. Like, it was a thing of beauty without looking. But at the same time, he kind of messed himself up a little bit.
That's about it for the Padres of note. Freddie Galvis was the shortstop. Franmil Reyes was the right fielder. God, Franmil Reyes has been about to break out for like a decade. Every time that I opened up the internet over the last 10 years, preseason, someone's got a Franmil Reyes take, hot take about how you should draft him. All right, enough of that nonsense. I was just curious what was happening in 2018 for the Atlanta Braves. Not we didn't know it, but we were about to climb out of the cellar. Charlie Culberson stole a base that day. How about that? Anyone hit a home run? No, but Ozzy Albies was hit by a pitch. I bet I was cursing. I would have lost that bet. I did not think Ozzy came up until later in the year. All right, let's go ahead and take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more baseball. When we've got our NFL mock draft. With the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock. We will be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Oh, yeah, baby. Does that sound anything better than that sound?
Nothing, my man.
We'll be back.
You're a cop, huh? No, what I am, Sonny, is about 50 pounds heavier and one hell of a lot meaner, so you better straighten up your act. I don't think I like
it. The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Wendy's only makes one kind of breakfast. Your new favorite one. How do we do it? With fresh cracked eggs, oven-baked bacon, and flaky croissants. You know, the things your old breakfast wasn't doing. So toss that old news and its soggy eggs somewhere useful. And get to Wendy's, a sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant, and honey butter chicken biscuit. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
The price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback.
I think you should retire.
Frank?
I'm sorry, but Marie is my wife. And if I can't support her in this, then she'll be like an ice pick in my ear until I die.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The
Welcome back.
Yeah,
how you doing, you crazy SOBs? We got opening day here.
Woo!
And I am ready. This is getting...
Can I tell you how ready I am?
What's that?
I'm going to tell you how ready I am with my lock right here. I'm locking in the Braves minus 1.5 at plus 130. I am going to say they are going to blow out the Padres tonight. Blake Snell's going to get shelled, and the Braves are my lock. They're going to chop, 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 and take Eddie for money's money.
Man, everybody. Steven locked in the Braves. You're locking in the Braves. Oh, just putting the kiss of death on me is what you're doing. I know exactly what's going on there.
All right. I can change it up if you want.
I'll stay away from the Braves today because in real life I already took them. Let me go with, let's see, what is this? Is this the, is that minus 145 is that we're at right now? Let me double check the action. I usually lock in my bets in the morning, and then sometimes the line moves and I can't pick them. By the way, the Braves line has moved to minus 153 on this site. That's alarming. That tells me that a lot of money came in on San Diego. Because unless there's some news that I'm not aware of, why is it going down? But I've got Dustin May minus 145 in the LA Dodgers to beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in Arizona. Merrill Kelly has looked meh, and Dustin May looked darn good the other night. And the first time out when they faced each other, the Dodgers left 12 runners in scoring position. I don't think that's going to happen twice. Do you?
No, I mean, it's not going to listen to, you know, this early in the season, a lot of things could happen. You're not going to see too much consistency, in my opinion, in this first month. Not only is the weather inconsistent, but so will these players. So I'm going to agree with you there.
I mean, I just don't think that, I don't know. I don't think it's likely that happens. Have that, and you have the fact that their guy, Dustin May, look, if the Dodgers are going to do anything, Dustin May has, he doesn't have to necessarily be Cy Young worthy, but he's got to be darn good. He's got to be darn good. Cause he cannot go in. They, considering what their pitching staff looks like, the Dodgers cannot go in and just get 4 or 5 inning performances from guys like Dustin May. They've got to be ready to roll. I saw a minor league game last night where one of their bigger pitching prospects was pitching. It was pretty impressive. The Dodgers, it was really impressive. And the A's number one prospect, that's a catcher, his name's escaping me right now. He looks good. He looks really good.
You know, those guys will make a difference when it comes, you know, if, especially good or bad. I mean, if you're bad, you bring up a prospect. If you're good, you try to get him some at bat. So all these people will be making an impact at some point.
All right. So we've got the mock draft. And
if you can catch them up to speed on where everybody is, I can punch it in the chat.
I have a pretty decent amount of it down. I know CJ, I could catch
up. If you missed any, I can clean it up at the tail end.
Yeah, CJ Stroud. So Carolina, we had CJ Stroud going number one. Anthony Richardson, number two to the Houston Texans. We had Will Anderson at number three to the Arizona Cardinals. My Colts, I took, you know, Mr. Bryce Young at number four. Seattle at number five. And so that's where I got a little bit with Tones' pick. I know he had the Seahawks. I'm forgetting off the top of my head who he had at number five.
Number five was Jalen Carter from the Georgia Bulldogs.
That's right. And then Detroit Lions were at six. And no, I'm sorry.
I'm putting it in the chat right now. So here you go. So it is in the YouTube chat. So number six was Miles Murphy from Clemson. The Raiders, Christian Gonzalez, cornerback at number seven.
Correct.
I believe it was you. Eight
that was
Falcons
me.
And me, and as we're calling him, JSN, wide receiver out of Ohio State. I'm just going to call him Jackson Smith. And just it's 100%. I think it's Jigba. That's how I've heard it pronounced, but I'm not 100%. And then Paris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
Might as well be the McGee and Joey draft. I feel like we had eight out of the first 10 picks.
Yeah, well, where are we at? 10 and 11 today, so the Eagles and the Titans. That was supposed to take place yesterday.
Oh.
And Justin got stuck in court. So I wasn't going to do it by myself. I was coming off the broadcast and continued the post-game show. So I just talked baseball. But man, I'll tell you right now, I was absolutely spent when I got off the air yesterday. You do the pregame show, the play-by-play, and the postgame show all by yourself, a total of about 5 hours. It's
when you get up from your chair, does it take you a couple minutes to walk straight?
Yeah.
Grab yourself a whiskey and call it a night.
My wife came home. She's like, how you doing? She starts talking. I said, I'm just wanting you to know I'm not talking tonight. So just, you know, you say whatever you want to say. I'll nod along. She thought I was like in some bad mood. I was like, I'm exhausted. I can't think. I can't. No, I got to get up tomorrow morning and go to work. I want to shut it down. And if that wasn't fun enough, without getting into the details, I had some medical issues last night that woke me up. So I'm like, so I didn't even get a great night's sleep. I'm like, God bless. It's just kicking me in the head. So I'm ready for a nice cold beer tonight, opening day. Koepka, by the way, 6 under. For the championship, one off the lead. Rahm is 7 under. Hovland is 7 under. Spieth is 4 under. I'm liking this Masters, man. I'm loving the big names up there at the top.
So am I. I'm loving it right now. I just hope weather doesn't play too much of a factor. But besides that, this has been a great tournament. You mentioned many of the names. It's good tournament to be alive. I got Spieth and Morikawa as a couple of guys where I laid some money. Outside of that, though, just looking forward to watching it tomorrow, especially.
All right, where are you going with the number 10 pick for your Philadelphia Eagles?
Can I get that great sound one more time, please?
Yeah, I got to find it. Hold on a second. Here we go.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm making you work. Unbelievable.
And with the number 10 pick of the 2023 slow burn fake draft. What you got?
We're not your Todd McShays, though, making trades all over the place, making goofy things happen. I saw one of the wildest, most mock drafts today that was just unbelievable to me. But anyways, outside of that, with this guy left on the board out of the University of Georgia, I'm going with Nolan Smith. If you looked at the Eagles last year, they had a really good roster, but they lost a couple of defensive players to free agency. They let up a lot of points in the playoffs, actually outside of the success they had. And what better fit to have a guy who was in the stout trenches of Georgia. So at 6'3", 235 with a good wingspan, they should add to that defensive line. They did last year in the draft. They'll have a couple of guys from Georgia now banging around. I think this would be a good move at the number 10 pick.
All right, make sure when you're giving these that you're giving their name, their position, and where they played, because not everybody listening knows who Nolan Smith is. Most people should, don't get me wrong, but not everybody knows that he's an outside linebacker from the University of Georgia.
I hope I covered all the bases there.
Well, yes, I have. I covered.
Oh, no, no. I said out of Georgia, I said edge and for 4 years. Don't try to correct me on something.
You didn't say outside linebacker. You had no point.
He's edge. He's edge. And I said edge.
Oh, you can call anybody an edge. I play edge.
In the NFL, there ain't no such thing, really.
I'll be living on the edge later.
So will I.
Touche. All right. So I'm a little surprised. Yeah. He's still on the board. Okay. I was double checking because I thought he would be taken at this point. And I'm a little surprised that he would still be there for the Tennessee Titans. So I'm going to go ahead and make the pick. And of course, I always got to pick the guy that I'm not 100% how to pronounce his name. But he's highly rated, can play tackle or guard. That's what the Titans need. They need offensive line help with losing a couple of guys in the offseason, not to mention bussing with the boys is gone. Tennessee Titans with the number 11 pick are going to take offensive tackle slash guard Peter Skoronski from Northwestern. And if nothing else, he should be able to help us cheat on some tests. Hey. Northwestern, right?
Absolutely, and the linemen are flying from the Big Ten here. We had one from Ohio State. Now we go Northwestern. What a surprise that the Big Ten is producing some offensive linemen in this draft.
Yeah, I've always had a rule about it, and that is come hell or high water, an offensive lineman, I'm going to lean with Big Ten. Pretty much every other position, I'm not going to lean Big Ten. I'm going to lean elsewhere. Now, they're getting better with the skill positions, but typically, if I'm looking for a quarterback, I'm actually want to go out west somewhere because that's usually where they come from. If I'm going to get a receiver, I want to go in the SEC or ACC. And if I'm going defense, I'm definitely looking SEC.
Oh, yes.
Now, that's not an absolute. There are instances where you're like, dude, I got to let, you know, I mean, for instance, in 89, you're not letting Deion Sanders go by the wayside because he didn't play in the SEC. But you get my drift. When in doubt, there are certain conferences that are known for certain positions. And I don't know why more teams don't draft, especially defense, why more teams don't just go, I'm going to take the best player available from Georgia or Alabama, depending on how I have them ranked. And I bet you 5 out of every 6 years, I'll have a pretty darn good draft.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that'll do us in for the draft. We'll continue the rest of that tomorrow. Let's take a real quick break. Blech. Broke my talker yesterday.
We need that cold one soon.
Yeah. Broke my talker, man. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get you set for tonight's action. Not only Braves, but there's some basketball out there, and there's a couple other really interesting baseball games. By the way, my money line pick today is cashing in, baby. The Giants 12-3 over the White Sox right now. Gotta love that. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Enjoy sun-drenched days epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Organ music getting you ready for better for opening day. Unless it's something like this.
Oh man, I feel so alive doing the chop. Yes, sir.
Let's rock and roll.
Don't hit me.
I don't know where my. Oh, it's way up there. Never mind. I got a foam finger up there. I don't know if you can
I see it.
Yeah. Atlanta Braves foam finger. I forget who gave that to me. I remember going, yeah, that's cool, but I'll never wear it. Because, man, those things give me like, it's almost like nails down a chalkboard every time I touch a foam finger.
Is there ever. You know, talk, I was just thinking about this because the Chiefs do the chop too. They definitely copied the Braves were the originals of the chop, right?
No, Florida State.
Oh, Florida State. Okay. So there's multiple
the Braves. The Braves got it from Florida State fans. Florida State fans brought it to Atlanta when Deion Sanders was playing outfield for the Braves.
Oh, okay. So
they were doing the chop to support. Before that, they did like this Wahoo type of chant that would really you think the chop is not PC? You should have heard this thing back in the '70s and eighties, man. It was bad. But yeah, it started at Florida State, and then the Braves, and then shortly after the Braves, the Braves made it just as popular as Florida State did. It's kind of hard to argue which one it is. It really comes down to what sport you're into more. Because college football, Florida State had already become like a national power. And then the Braves, when they took it and ran with it, they were winning division after division after division, right? So they were both. So during that time span in the early 90s, that's when the Chiefs adapted.
Because funny quick story on that, I was at the one of the biggest playoff comebacks of all time in Indy. When the Colts came back against the Chiefs, and there was a lot of Chiefs fans at that game, and at halftime they were doing the chop, and I was so mad, I was so angry, and you had so many Chiefs fans doing it. But then on the way out after the Colts won, we were all doing the chop, so we got our payback.
Yeah, that's pretty. yeah, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Anytime that you have that, right? I've gotten used to it over the years because. I chop year round, whether it's college football or Major League Baseball.
You got me chopping 2 days a week.
That's right, baby. That's right. I'm telling you, I came really close to becoming a Chiefs fan years ago because of it. But I was like, I don't know. There was nothing that ever drew me to the Chiefs. In theory, I should be because another team wears red. Another team that has a little yellow involved there. But I don't know. I could never. I never had a reason to pull for him. Like there was never a player that I can say, man, that I really love. I've never disliked the Chiefs. They just didn't resonate with me, but here's a funny story. You want to hear something funny? Woke up this morning to a sternly written letter for Major League Baseball to us and our Twitter page claiming that we were, and what it came down to, I deciphered it this afternoon after I got home because I was like, I don't have time to read this crap. You know, it's one of those things where Twitter's saying, hey, we've locked your account. Kadurk, kadurk, kadurk. What? You got to read this first. And so I looked at it, and basically so our live stream the past couple of days, past few days since the beginning of the season, thanks once again for everyone who's jumped on and checked us out, but our live stream has hit them where they have paid attention, and they were claiming that we were stealing their likeness, because the way I read it, they were under the impression that I was taking the Atlanta Braves radio feed or television feed and broadcasting it. They did not realize that what I'm doing is me. It has nothing to do with Major League, but they locked our account. So I went over to YouTube just to double check and make sure that, you know, there wasn't some nonsense going on over there, and they had nothing. But it's, who knows? There was an attorney for Major League Baseball that got his panties in a wad, and he reported us. But he was probably under the impression that I was stealing their likeness, which is not true at all. I wanted to step back. Look, dude, if you want to shut me up, you better hire me, son, because that's how that goes down.
Yeah. Hey, that sounds like jealousy to me at its finest.
Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, honestly, I could get upset for the minor inconvenience, or I could take it as a compliment that they actually thought that our broadcast was coming out of Braves Radio. Dude, the Giants just hit another home run.
I picked up Yastrzemski today, and he went yard, so that made me happy. It's just a hit fest for the Giants.
13 home runs in the series against the White Sox. This really makes me feel very comfortable about having the White Sox predicted in third.
And I'll tell you right now, I said it before the year. I'll say it again. I think Lance Lynn is about today was good proof of that. I think that man's over the edge. He won't have a good season this year. I'm pretty confident in that.
You know what Lance Lynn is, dude? He's fat. Like, have you watched him? Yeah, he looks like I'm on the mound.
He go to Krispy Kreme.
I'm like, dude, I wouldn't hire me to throw a baseball. I throw 10 of them. 7 of them might hit the strike zone. 1 might be over 80 miles an hour because I'm out of shape. I saw him at the baseball classic where he can't hide underneath the black jerseys that they wear. Right. I was like, dude, he's a tub. And he got cranked today. And that's the reason why I jumped on the Giants, because they were underdogs. And Alex Woods actually looked pretty good. He has looked solid during the spring, and he must have pitched well today. I didn't watch the game because I was getting ready for this, watching the Masters. But by the way, Rahm and Hovland are the leaders. Kepka is going on the last hole, and McIlroy is doing McIlroy type things and being overrated. And I think he's going to finish on +1 for the day.
And I'm so glad
He's only at the through 11, but he's +1. Do what?
I'm so glad many people picked him because everyone wants him to get the grand slam and close it out. Well, there's a reason he hasn't got the grand slam, because he can't win the Masters.
He never plays well at the Masters.
No, sir.
I think that's why he's one of my least favorite golfers, because this is my favorite tournament, and he's just never there. But when you've got Rahm and Kepka and Spieth in the top five, now Spieth still has the back nine to play. When you've got them in the top five going into day two, that's fun, man. That's good stuff. Xander Schauffele is up there too. He's 4 under. He's done for the day. I mean, man.
And I'll tell you what was impressive. Rahm started with a 4-putt on hole number 1 and recovered greatly after that. So it was an experience of a first hole.
4-putt?
Yes, a 4-putt on hole 1. And he recovered just like that going. I mean, it was birdie, birdie, birdie. It was just nuts.
Yeah, those are two of my favorite golfers, him and Koepka. Now, Koepka kind of fell off of me because he went over to the Live Tour. And it's not that I'm not going to get bent out of shape about the Live Tour thing. That's between all the golfers and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to see him because I'm not going to dial up the Live Tour. I don't even know what it comes on, nor do I care about it.
If you can't watch it on TV, I'm not going to go struggle to find it for the.
No, I'm going to watch the four majors. I watch the TPC. And then from time to time, depending on how the schedule lines up, if there's something interesting that comes on and there's a decent
matchup, I'll hit that. But those are my five absolutes that I have to watch. I usually get more into them on the weekend because it's just so hard to watch it during the weekend. I don't watch rerun golf. I'm not doing that. Tonight, I'm not watching the rerun of the Masters. I'm going to watch the Braves, by God. But when the Masters hits Saturday and Sunday, I'll be locked in on that.
Absolutely. What way to better way to spend the weekend? Listen, this Sunday, you want to talk about jam-packed. You're going to have the Masters finishing up. It's the last day of the NBA regular season, and we'll have a plethora of baseball. It's going to be awesome.
All right, we're coming up on it. What is your walk-off for the day, sir?
My walk-off is actually staying with the Masters. Look, we have a great group going. We talked about the leaders. If Rahm wins this one, he takes a huge lead on the year in terms of standing. So, I mean, this guy doesn't need much more to prove people wrong, but if he wins this Master, not many people are going to catch up. So I'm looking at Rahm and Hovland right now, but it's going to be a great long weekend. Looking forward to the Masters.
Yeah, I really hope when we get to Sunday, Rahm, Koepka, and Spieth are there. Nothing against Victor Hovland, but he's just not one of my favorite ones.
And that, you know, Tiger's at plus +2. I wonder if he'll even make the cut.
Koepka just went to 7-under.
Oh,
that's yes, my one.
Let's go.
7-under, baby. We're all tied up going into the first turn. That is awesome.
Ghost Strider and Chop on tonight as well.
And Spieth is through 10. So, I mean, he could still – it looks like that they got some wet greens there. All right, we got to get my walk-off for the day is obviously opening day Braves baseball. I think the Braves win. The over-under is 8.5. I think we're going to get the under. I think the Braves win, but I think it's going to be a touch below. My prediction today will be Atlanta wins this baby 5-2. And hopefully Colin McHugh, if y'all missed it earlier, Colin McHugh goes to the IL. Schuster's coming back up, so that probably means that he'll start tomorrow, and we will have the call mañana. Before that, 3-5, we go live right here on the key. Keep it locked in here on the key. All night long, baby. You got Sports Map Radio. You got Brian Snow. You got CDP. And then tomorrow morning, make sure that you get your day started right with Rhino Radio Penitentiary. For all the guys and gals and girls behind Armchair Quarterback Radio and Braves Country, I'm Mac McGee. We shall see you, baby. Go Braves. Let's get some butt whooping on those Friars.
Chop, chop.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves.
It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.